John's Gospel, chapter 14, from verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me, but that the world might know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And I just want to read a couple of other verses that you don't need to turn to. Verse from Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And again, another one verse from Luke's Gospel. This is chapter 2. The angels sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So I want today to speak on the Lord Jesus as the Prince of Peace. I want to speak on the subject of peace. So we have read in those scriptures when the Messiah was promised, he was promised to bring us peace, bring peace to our hearts. And how often we speak that to unbelievers, don't we? We say, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll get peace in your heart. And yet, why is it that we as Christians very often don't have peace in our hearts? I was just praying a week or so ago. And as I was praying, a profound sense of peace came upon me. I think perhaps someone was praying for me. I suddenly feel sometimes, don't you, the power of someone's prayer. They could be in another country. And I felt a profound sense of peace. And as I felt that sense of peace, I realized how often I'm not walking in peace. And yet we should be. But often the things of this world and our troubles are affecting us so that even as Christians, even as saved people, people who know that we're going to spend an eternity in paradise, yet we're not walking in peace right now. And so I want to look at how our Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace and can be the Prince of Peace in our lives. Now, the Lord Jesus here, he speaks in the passage we read about the Holy Spirit and making things real to us. And we'll come on to that in a little while. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we receive the peace. But there's something deeper that we really need to learn. And we're going to focus our thoughts largely on verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now, I want us to think for a moment about how the world gives peace, because this is very often our problem, and this is where we go for our peace. Where do you go to find your peace? When you are stressed, when you've got problems, where is the place that you go to? Because the thing that we go to for our peace, indeed the thing that we go to for our joy, is the thing that is really our God. If we go to God for our peace, for our joy, he is our God. If we go to something else for our peace and our joy, it is this other thing. But very often, if you come in tired and stressed from a busy day, how many of us will put our phones on and we will watch something on YouTube? We will watch something, or if you have a television, you'll watch something on television. Or you'll go to some other thing or some other person to try and get your peace. And so we see there are all these other ways that we can get peace. But Jesus said, not as the world gives, give I unto you.
So we want to think about how the world gives peace. And if we go right back to the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were there and they had peace, they didn't have any problems at all. How wonderful. If you compare it with our lives, they didn't have any problems. They didn't have to think about money or disease or anything else like that. Everything was perfect. Now, Satan comes and he starts to try and remove their peace and give them a sense of discontent. And he says, you don't have what you need at the moment. You don't have this the knowledge of good and evil. You're not in the fullness of a place of understanding. You need this thing, and if you have this thing, you will have peace. You will have you don't have peace now because you need to have inside you a feeling that you don't have enough. But if you have this, you will have peace. And so they listen to the devil. Now, we have to remember that the way that the devil works, very largely, is in the field of our emotions. It's in the field of our emotions. Now, if you're walking as a Christian, walking in the light, seeking to walk with God, the place where Satan will start to attack you is your emotions. He will start to put pressure on you in the way you feel. They say, oh, you don't feel right. And the reason you don't feel right is because you don't have this. But if you have this, you will have peace. You'll have peace. And so that was how it worked with Adam and Eve. You don't have peace because you don't have this fruit. You haven't tried this fruit. If you have this fruit, you'll have what you need. And as soon as they take it, you know, the devil doesn't bother them anymore. For immediately, he leaves them there. Oh, I've got it. I feel at rest. I have peace because I've done this. I've done this sin. But then the real trouble, they did have peace before, and then the real trouble comes. And they really don't have peace, and yet they had it before. And so we have to understand this is how the world gives peace. It gives you a moment of peace when you've achieved something, when you've got something, and then it takes it away again. It gives you the peace, and then you lose it immediately. And if you look at, it's very interesting, if you look at Luke chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but the temptations of the Lord Jesus. The devil comes to him and he says, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now he's saying, you've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You're hungry. You don't have peace. Because you are not enjoying the pleasures of this world. And here's the first area of temptation that the devil will come and say, in order for you to have peace, you need to have the things of this world. You need to be walking in pleasure. And you need to have this kind of food and this kind of enjoyment. And how many of us today are looking for peace through the pleasures of this world? It's the thing that's happening all over the world that people are seeking pleasure as their form of peace. They are consuming ever more delicious food. I don't feel right. Oh, let me comfort eat. That will bring me peace. That will bring peace to my heart. Let me watch a comedy. Let me watch a fun movie. That movie, that will be the thing that brings peace to my heart. But you see, let me just watch. You come in tired, as I say, and you say, let me just watch a little funny thing on YouTube. It'll only be 5 minutes. And you watch it, and that'll give me peace. Peace from my day. And you watch it, and then you say, well, it's sort of, I feel as if I've got a bit more peace. But let me just watch another 5 minutes. And then I'll have a bit more peace. And then after an hour or an hour and a half of watching rubbish, the time has gone, actually, you're more stressed. And you're more tired and you have less peace in your heart than when you started. But this is what the devil does. Your peace is to be found in a YouTube clip, a YouTube short. Your peace is to be found in watching television. Your peace is to be found in some pleasurable food. That's where your peace is to be found. But notice what the Lord Jesus replies. He says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Not that we don't need food. Yeah, it's part of life to have some food, but that's not where our peace lies. He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, yet his peace did not lie in the fact that he was satisfied with his, as it were, bodily needs in terms of food. But he was satisfied in God himself. And so every time that the Lord Jesus is tempted to find his peace in something else, he directs, as it were, the devil back to God. And he says, it's in God. It's in God. In God is my peace. Even if I'm not eaten, yet I have peace in my heart because I live by God. God brings peace. And he is the word of God, the reality of God. When he speaks to me, that is all I need as a human, that I might have peace in my heart. He takes things back to God and says, that in God, in the knowledge of God, is where my peace is. And it says that the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now, you see, another area where we might seek to find our peace is by things like ambitions being fulfilled. Maybe we're in a career. It can even be a spiritual career. People as pastors are not immune from having ambitions in terms of how much they're used. And we think, if I reach this place, I will have peace. If I reach another level in my career, I will have peace. If I have more money, I will have peace. If I am more widely known, if I become reach a level of fame where people know about me, where I am famous, where and this is in a sense how it is, that I'll give you this power, I'll give you, that the people will give you some place of acceptance, he says to the Lord Jesus. We know the Lord Jesus, as he walked, he was despised, he was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As he walked this earth, he was not generally accepted by people. They rejected his message. But Satan comes to him and says, just bow down before me and you will have the acceptance. You will have popularity. You will be as it were, famous. And just everyone will know it, will love you as a person. And that can be where we seek to find our peace. Do you want to be a TikTok star? Do you want to be known on the internet? Do you want to be known as the person who's reached, you know, the directorship of your company, or risen to this place, or a place of wealth where people say, oh, that marvelous person, they've got so much money, they help me, they throw me a little bit, they help me, and so I respect them. The old issue of patron and client that they used to have in ancient Rome, still alive today in the world. Are we seeking to say, if I just get that little bit higher? But you know, in all of these things, as you seek, as you get to another level, it doesn't satisfy. You know, you have money and say, if I just had a bit more money, then I'll have peace. Everything will be great, just a bit more than I have now. But you know, when you reach that stage where you've got a bit more money, you say, oh, well, I'm still not satisfied. I've got a temporary peace for 5 minutes. Maybe you get a pay rise. Maybe you get some money come your way. Temporary peace for 5 minutes. And then, oh, but if I had this much, then I would have peace. And it goes on forever. That's how the world gives peace. It's a temporary peace. When you reach something, when you give in to temptation, when you achieve something of this world, and it doesn't last. I should say in passing that when it talks about the world in the Bible, it talks about the world in various places. Now, if we want to understand what it means by the world is the whole concept of the way this world works. But the simplest way to understand the term world is to understand it as this world. When it talks about the world, it's all the things of this world. Being famous is of this world. It's not going to be for eternity. Being rich is of this world. You know, all the possessions we may have, it's of this world. And so we're told, love not the world. And we might say, love not this world. You know, it says they loved not their lives unto the death. They didn't care if they died in this world or what they suffered in this world. It says in about those in Hebrews chapter 11. But it was about the next world. And that's what we as Christians are to be living for. Not this world. The glory of this world fades. And all the things that people build up of this world, it doesn't last. It's temporary. The unseen things, we are told, in 1 Corinthians are eternal. And so when we speak about the world, we're speaking of this world as opposed to the next world. We're told that we lay up treasure. We treasure the things of heaven, the things of eternity. So that's the second area. The things where we've achieved something to try and find our peace. But there's another area. It says, and he, Satan, brought the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, what does this talk about? Very often in our Christian lives, and I know I've felt that like this many times, we've wanted, as it were, a sign from God that he loves us. Yes. Just do something for me. Just send me a blessing this week. And we know it talks about a token of the Lord's goodness, a token of his mercy in the Psalms. But very often we pray this, Lord, send me a sign. I'm feeling a bit low. I'm feeling a bit discouraged. Send me something to show who you are. But you remember what Jesus said to the Jews as they came in and said, oh, Lord, show us a sign. He said, I'm going to show you the sign of the prophet Jonah. And Jonah, he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. And so will the Son of Man be. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead. You don't need any other sign than that. And as Pastor Dan was leading earlier, he was speaking about that is the sign that God loves us. That is our spiritual experience. We are born again of his Holy Spirit. We have the experience that we have met with God. Our sins are forgiven. And he died on Calvary's cross for our sins. That is our great sign. But sometimes we want to find our peace not in God himself and the character of God that we've seen at the cross, in a God who would leave the glory of heaven to come and die for us, when he, in a sense, he didn't have to, except that his character is love. There was nothing in us that deserved it. He didn't have to, in a sense, but he came. But instead of our peace being in that, in the Christ, in the God that we know, we seek to be comforted in something that we can see. Something that we can see. Satan says to the Lord Jesus, do something so that you can see that God is God. That the Father is God. Jump off here and see that the angels will catch you. And that experience will comfort you. And that's where you will have your peace. You will have your peace and an experience of God today. Now, we are Pentecostal people. We believe in experiences. We believe in experiencing the presence of God. We believe in experiencing healing. We believe in experiencing prophecies and tongues and interpretations. We believe in an experienced Christianity. We don't just follow this book as if it's a manual and we just do it itself. But we do have an experience of the living Lord Jesus Christ. But if our peace is in that, if our peace is in that, it's not going to be a peace that lasts, because you'll be moving from one experience to another. And if we don't have some experience today, some extraordinary experience, we think God doesn't love us. And so our peace moves into the place where we're just finding it in an experience. Then, you know, as you mature as Christians, and I've talked to other mature Christians, great men of God, and they say, as you go on in the Christian life, your experience, as it were, of the presence of God and all those things that you've got as a young Christian start to reduce, because he wants you to learn to trust him and walk with him even when you don't feel it. Even when you don't feel his presence. Even when miracles are not happening, you learn to trust God from a personal knowledge of him, a personal knowledge of his character that is built up over time, based on who he is and what he's done for us, and of course his written word as well. So he starts to remove it. When you're a young Christian, I'm sure the same as it was for me. You had so many experiences. It was like flashes of lightning, and you were used this way, and you heard things, and maybe you saw visions, and so much seemed to be supernatural at the beginning, but it reduces over time. Why? Because God, the Lord, wants to bring us to a place of maturity. a place of maturity where it's based on who we know He is. It says in 1 John about the older men, the people who've known, you have known the Lord. And that was the thing of people who mature in the Lord, that they'd known the Lord, they'd experienced, they'd walked with Him, and they'd developed a relationship that wasn't based on feeling. And you know, we can seek to find peace in so many other things. You know, some people, they seek to find peace in church experience. But we can do that, and it cannot be peace in God, in the person of God. You know, some people say, if only I had the right church. We had a church once and everything was so perfect. We had this band and everything was perfectly organized. And, you know, we had this pastor who was just so lovely and so loving and charismatic. Everything was perfect. But, I don't feel that now. And so we say, my peace, I don't have peace in my heart. And we start to find our peace in something like that, even in church things. You know, we can even go into our houses and put on a Christian song or something and seek to find peace in the Christian song. Now, these things are not wrong, of course. Fine, listen to a Christian song. It can be encouraging, it can be uplifting at the right time, help you to worship the Lord at home. But if we are seeking to find our peace in these things, when the song ends, you won't have peace anymore. The song comes to an end, it's like, I don't feel so jolly. The tune has ended that was uplifting me. That was making me feel good. Imagine if you're in a place where you can't put the song on, where you don't have access to, you know, YouTube songs or your phone or whatever it is. Imagine one day persecution comes and you're in a prison cell and you don't have anything except the praises that you sing to the Lord like the apostles. And so we have to learn that our peace is not found even in the things of Christianity, churchianity, Christian songs and all of things, but that our peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the light of the world. He is the Prince of Peace. And it's in a personal knowledge of Him that is given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit that our peace needs to be found. And perhaps today we're in a position where we don't have peace, and we've been seeking our peace from all these things of the world, and yet our relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it was. And we need to go back to the place where when we are feeling tired, when we are feeling a lack of peace, that instead of putting on YouTube, putting on the television, that we get on our knees and we get into the presence of God and meet with Him. Because I can assure you that as we do that, peace will come upon us. Peace will come upon us in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in these other things, not even in a worship CD or a song, but in the presence of Jesus Christ. When we come to Him and we say, Lord Jesus Christ, You are my peace. And you see the great difference is when we find our peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a peace that remains. It is a peace that remains. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So the Lord doesn't give His peace and then snatch it back 5 minutes later and expect you to do something. You see, the peace that the Lord gives to us is not according to what we do and are, but according to who He is. And the fact that we have repented of our sins and we're finding Him, and we're trusting in Him as our righteousness, we are finding our peace in Him. The world says if you do more, you will have peace. It's about who you are and what you do. But for us as Christians, it's about who He is and what He has done for us. Hallelujah. And so we have this peace that comes from Him. As we leave everything else aside and we come into His presence, we say, Lord, I want You. I find my peace in You. Now, what does that mean in practice? Coming towards a conclusion now. But what does that mean in practice? Well, very much it means that we come to Him trusting and obeying. It's very much the message the Lord has given us these last few weeks. We come trusting, saying, Lord, if I'm in obedience to You, I know I can just place everything in Your hands and You will make everything work out. If I walk in obedience to You, I can place everything in Your hands and You will make everything work out. The things of finances, the things of family, things of whether it's a career and just you wanting to do the right thing by the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus walked in peace in his life. You know, people were coming against him, and yet he walked in peace. And how is it that the Lord Jesus walked in peace? He walked in obedience to his Father. It says in chapter 14 and verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That Satan couldn't do anything to the Lord without it being allowed. He could find nothing in him because he walked in perfect obedience to the Father. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ could walk in perfect peace when people were coming against him. You remember when he was going to be crucified? And Pilate was saying, look, aren't you going to say anything? I have the power to crucify you. And you're not even defending yourself. And Jesus said, you wouldn't have power unless it was given to you from above. He had peace in his heart that he could stand there in silence and not defend himself. He had peace in his heart that he could say, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. He had peace in his heart, whatever came against him, because he was walking in obedience to his Father, and he could be certain continually that he was within the will of his Father, and the Lord would make everything work out. Even though he had to go to the cross, even though he had to go through the pain and the suffering of the cross, yet he could have peace in his heart, because he knew it was for a reason, and he knew he was in the Father's hands. And even though he might go through the time of suffering, yet in the end everything would work out to the glory of God the Father. And then, as it says in Philippians 2, that he would be exalted and given a name that is above every other name, that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He walked in perfect obedience to the Father, and so he could walk in peace. And the only time that there was the anguish of soul was when he was ascertaining in his humanity that he was wanting to be, making sure he was exactly as he should be. And there was, a mental anguish. Think of that, the Garden of Gethsemane. But there wasn't a loss of peace, because he was just concentrating to get right. If it's possible, I can't do anything that is not exactly right. So there was an anguish of soul. And sometimes for us, we will have an anguish of soul, though we're walking not in sin, but to want to be within the will of the Father. But just in it, coming to a conclusion, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. What does it mean to give the peace? Well, that peace that the Lord Jesus had because he was walking in obedience to the Father, that becomes ours. Not because we are trying to be good, but through his death and resurrection, that righteousness of Christ and the power to walk in righteousness, the person of Christ comes upon us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That means we walk in peace as well. We have the power to walk in obedience. Therefore, we have the power to walk in peace. It says in the end of John chapter 16. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Of course we will have troubles, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. How was it that Jesus overcame the world? It was because he didn't live according to the world. He lived continually about the unseen things. He lived about the eternal things. And when Satan came and tried to tempt him, He didn't give in. But that's how he overcame the world. Never sinning, never giving in to temptation. Now, if we are abiding in Christ, and that's what, when you come to the end of chapter 14, where we read it, the next chapter 15 is talking about, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. It's talking about abiding in Christ. When we just come to that place where we rest in the person of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we have that real peace. Hallelujah. This time of year when people are stressed, running about, you know, buying turkeys and buying presents that people probably don't want when they receive them. And, you know, the tie so kindly meant, as John Betjeman wrote of. And people are stressed. It's supposed to be a time of peace, goodwill to all men, toward men. Here, do we have peace? Do we have peace today? Yet peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. As the angels proclaim, peace, that he is the Prince of Peace. Indeed, peace comes through our personal knowledge of him. And today, if you've just wandered off, you love the Lord, you know the Lord, but you've just wandered a little bit far, you're not in that place of perfect abiding in Christ, you can come back. You can but come back to Christ right now and say, Lord, just have that central place in my heart. Be central in me. I want to find my peace in you alone. In Christ alone will be my peace. And he will take up that place where he is Lord and God within you. He will be, as it were, take up the place of kingship upon the throne of your heart. And you will have peace. It's not found in anywhere else, not in church or in anything else, but it can be found in Christ alone. Let us yield to him today and know that peace in our hearts. Let us pray. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. You came into this world to bring peace to our hearts, not by the outward experience, not by the outward circumstances and situation that we can look upon, but through the knowledge of you and knowing that we can trust everything into your hands. Lord, we have so often sought to find peace in other things. May we come back to you and know you, Lord Jesus, and walk in that place of perfect peace. We know it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, we pray you'd move upon us to make real the things of our Lord Jesus Christ, that people might look on our lives and see people who walk in peace as people who know their God. We praise you, we worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within.